Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
And looking forward to a good broadcast tonight, and I'll let you know when your callers call in.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody joining us this Wednesday evening for Hope is Alive. And just in case you're tuning in for the first time or haven't been a regular listener to this show, you might wonder, what is Hope Alive about? Well, it's about delivering people from that which is holding them captive. And this is done through the practice what we call deliverance, commonly known as deliverance, and it's casting out evil spirits to help people overcome different problems in their lives. And this is all done by Christians, everyday Christians, because it's believers in Jesus who would be casting these out. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. Website's excellent, set up there for help for self-deliverance, for training, for teaching, step-by-step process to take care of these things. Or if you like the book, you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he will certainly get it to you. And it's an excellent, excellent manual, step-by-step process to casting out evil spirits, and a lot of extra stuff in there to help not only cast them out, but to help you stay free. Well, Pastor, here we are another Wednesday evening, and you asked me to read a specific scripture, so I will.
All right, go
ahead,
Ralph.
John 14:12. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Now, Pastor, when I read that, I think he's talking about you and me.
And for sure, Ralph, just little us, that you and I, in his name, are commanded to do the same works of Jesus. Other scriptures, of course, Mark 16:17. Jesus commanded believers to cast out evil spirits, to lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And then we've been given all power to do it with it. Luke 10:19, that we have power over all the enemy, even the promise that nothing will harm us. And, you know, I think back to where most of us have probably grown up, that we prayed, and God answers prayers a lot of different ways, but we prayed, Father, in Jesus' name, would you do this or that, or heal this person, or heal me, etc. We prayed to the Father. Well, as I finally learned, and it was exciting to learn this, that Jesus actually gave Christians, you and I, Ralph, and others listening that are Christians, power over all the enemy, and really the power of attorney to do this in his name. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. So he gave it over to us to speak in his name directly. And while, again, God answers prayers lots of different ways, this is certainly an excellent way that you can see results right in front of you. And, you know, our teams at Deliverance Ministries, every Monday night, we did, I think it was 11 cases this last Monday, had a minister for each, even extra ministers. But none of the ministers were praying, Father, in Jesus' name, would you take these demons out from this person, or would you heal this person? We were doing what he told us to do directly in his name, speaking directly to it and seeing it happen right then. You know, one of the steps that we do after the usual or regular deliverance or exorcisms, and then praying for the sick, but we also do what's known as a limb check. And, of course, so many people have to go to a chiropractor. Well, it turns out our Jesus is a master chiropractor as we speak in his name. And we'll have people sit down in a chair, especially those that have a back problem, straight back chair, pick up their shoes and look at their heels. And when people especially have, sometimes they don't even know they have a short leg, but if they have back problems, it's quite likely they do. And holding those shoes up, looking at the heels, and commanding in Jesus' name, adjustment, pain, go, commanding alignment and balance, we watch right then the short leg adjust out. And the same with the arms. We have them put their arms out in front of them and speak the same prayer. Well, in one or two of those commands, praise God, the person is healed. They'll say, oh, my pain's gone. We have them stand up and move around. But isn't that exciting that we can do that correctly? I've seen 43 years of that, what we call the limb check, and seeing backs heal. But we see all kinds of healing. So it's hard to get across. A lot of us are caught up in the old ways, which I grew up in. But it's a more efficient way is to speak directly in his name.
That's right, because it doesn't say there in John 14:12 that those who've gone to school for 8 years to learn the Greek and Hebrew and all these extra all this extra special teaching will cast out demons, but do these works. It doesn't say, you know, the preachers will do these works. It doesn't say elders or deacons will do this work. It says believers, those who believe in me. And
that's right.
I qualify, you qualify. I would guess everybody listening to this broadcast would qualify. So how come we aren't doing it? That's why we're on
question.
Here to help. Yeah.
That's exactly
well, that's
right.
That's why we come on here to try to teach, encourage, and edify and let people know that, yes, you can do it while the testimonies come on. And the interesting thing is, almost every single testimony that we have, these are people who are professing Christians. So that tells me that that Christians are under attack, that they can have these issues, and just because you're saved doesn't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory, because a lot of times you got to take care of some stuff that's, you know, it may come from ungodly living. It could come from, unrepented sin. It could come from doors that are open, generational. It could come from curses being placed on you, either self-spoken or otherwise. It could come from witchcraft or even come by demonic assignment. Because the devil said So the Bible said the devil is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. And we're told in James, resist the devil and he will flee. Now, Pastor, those weren't written to the unbelievers. They were written to the believers. They were written to those who were already covered by the blood in the body, and they were being edified by James and Peter how to do things. So if they had that problem then, and we know nothing's new under the sun, obviously we have the same problems today.
That's right. They were speaking to Christians, telling them that. I don't know how that's missed so much. When, you know, it seems pretty clear, especially once you understand it, but still, it reads pretty clear that we are to be doing these works in His name. And it's most exciting that God will use us this way. I never get over the amazement. We have a couple of testimonies coming on tonight. The first one is actually an alcohol situation. A man in California flew in and flew out. He flew out the next morning on a Monday night. And we were not praying, Father, in Jesus' name, would you take this alcohol away? We were doing what Jesus commanded us to do again, commanding that alcohol, you know, those spirits to come out. In fact, I was able to get the head demon up in his case, and that was one of the demons that was there. So he's going to give his testimony of that. He knows he's free. You know, one thing about it, when you get the demons out, you tell the difference right off. It's again so exciting that we little us as Christians here can observe that and see God use little us, that we can minister to somebody and see it happen right in front of us. So, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, I'm sitting there just thinking, you're describing he hopped on a plane, California, come to Oklahoma City, got deliverance, and he hopped to go back. That seemed to be a little bit of work, and someone who was seeking and wanting and needing, just like I just think of that woman that was pushing through the crowd. She just said, well, if I could just touch Jesus's, I could just touch his shirt, I could be healed. And, you know, there still has to be a certain amount of work on your part before you reach deliverance. And you have to want it. You have to want to go. And we have seen before, we have seen people that have been talked into going to deliverance, and they do get a little help, but for the most part they don't get the freedom they're searching because they're not wanting it. And it still takes a little bit of faith and action on the person wanting it, and when they want it, it makes it so much easier to take care of the thing.
If they'll just say, Jesus, help me, then we can take them by the hand and go through these ministry steps that we've learned to do and get them to the goal line.
Well, Pastor, we have Jim on the line. Jim, thank you for calling us this evening.
Thank you.
Yes, hi, Jim. Thank you so much. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, hi, Everett. Good to be here.
Yes, great to have you aboard. Well, Jim, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen, and so forth. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that, because I overheard you speaking about really wanting to have deliverance in order for it to really be effective, and I was really desperate, and fully surrendered. So when I came out to Oklahoma City from Los Angeles, it was with that heart position. I really, really was desperate to be delivered. But to start from the beginning, I was in college when I was born again, gave my life to Jesus. I grew up in the church, but it wasn't until I was 21. Until I turned my life over to him and got married and had three daughters and then ended up getting long story, but ended up getting divorced, which I think is related to the deliverance that I was pursuing later in my life, or needing later in my life. So got remarried, and again was fully walking with the Lord, sold out to Jesus, and over time, what I thought I could manage, I thought I could manage alcohol. It was just something that I would think that, well, this is just something over here. It's just something I can control this. I'll just have a drink or two, just for, you know, when I'm out, glass of wine. But unfortunately for me, over time, it really became an addiction, and it just led to just bad decisions and bad results in my life. And that was kind of the wake up, one of the wake up calls, I should say, or part of the wake up call that I had with my wife a month ago. And she and I spoke about it, and along with some other spirits that we believe were operating with me, and said, well, you know, you really, I had gone out to Oklahoma City before years ago for some deliverance, and it was very, very helpful. She said, well, I think you really need to go back to Oklahoma City and get delivered of some things. It was real clear to me at that, when she said that, yeah, she was absolutely right. I knew that's something that I had to do.
So you flew in, and you came on a Monday night, and yeah. What went on after you came in? We went through a teaching about it, and talked
yeah.
about the 15 doors. We learned about that demons can come through. And so how'd it go in the teaching there, Jim?
Yeah, I came out and I flew out first thing in the morning on a Monday from L.A. and came to the church Monday night in Oklahoma City, and got to sit with you for a good amount of time, and kind of started with, I think, some of the trauma in my life at an early age that maybe opened doors, or not maybe, but I do believe opened doors for you know, these demons to operate. And so we went through kind of my background, my family history, my father and mother's history, and kind of generational stuff. You asked me a lot of questions about my past and things that were operating and controlling me we then went at, you then went after with your authority in Jesus.
Well, we worked on the traumas too. You know, the steps we typically do is breaking of ungodly soul ties, and then working with the trauma door of events, memories of the past that carry certain bad feelings. And then the
yeah.
supernatural thing of that is, as you give those feelings to Jesus, he supernaturally takes them. It amazes me every time how cool it is that we can see that happen right in front of us. And so we worked through quite a bit of that, and then finally I tried for the head demon and was able to get a communication going. What was that like, Jim?
Yeah, that was really interesting, Everett. We first identified the head demon as spirit of fear. And, as you pointed out, he had a lot of soldiers underneath him, but we didn't really concern ourselves, or you didn't concern yourselves as much with them as you did the head. And so you were talking to the spirit of fear and asking him questions and kind of unveiling his strategies in my life. You know, are you doing this? Is this something that you've done to Jim? Is this what you tried to do? And he would speak, and he would say, "Yeah, that's exactly my plan. That's exactly what I've done."
And then you could hear that talking through you, couldn't you, Jim? You could hear it talking through you, could you? Okay.
Yeah.
You heard what it was saying.
I spoke out audibly what the demon was saying when you'd ask him questions.
Amazing thing, isn't it? Most people wouldn't imagine that happening, but it when it works, it's very efficient. And, of course, I've forgotten how many demons were under the head demon, but I made sure there weren't any legal rights for the demons to be there, including the head demon and or satanic assignments that had not been canceled. And so what went on from there?
Yeah, so you asked the demon, you know, many, many questions and asked the demon, you know, what lies that he was telling me. Now, there was a whole host of lies that he was wanting me to believe. So we went through, I don't know, there's probably 20 lies. I mean, I guess I could share a few, but one of them was, if I'm totally sold out to Jesus, then my life wouldn't be fun. And you would ask the demon, said, is that what you told Jim? He said, yes. He says, you know, is that your strategy? And he said, yes. And then you denounced it and sent that assignment to the foot of Jesus. And, so we went through, I don't know, like I said, there's probably 20 or so lies that were part of his strategy to take me down, you know, take me out of God's plan for my life. And
they were hoping you'd buy the lies as the truth. And I've forgotten what it said. Did it say you were buying the lies?
Yeah, absolutely.
You remember?
I was absolutely believing some of the lies.
Oh, yeah. It was proud of itself, I remember now.
Yeah, he was.
The demon was proud of its mission, doing a good job, it said. Yeah.
Right.
And then, let's see, had the demon give you your gifts.
I'm sorry, can you restate that again, Everett?
Your God-given gifts. It gave you your gifts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After the demon, you know, unveiled all of his strategies and lies, then Jesus spoke out through me what the truth was, what the truth is about me and how he's created me. And it was really interesting because when we looked at the notes after the deliverance, the truth was exactly opposite of all the lies that I was being told. And there were twice as many truths as there were lies.
They always admit that they're trying to block your life because of those lies, because of the gifts. They want to block your God-given gifts. And, of course, they're trying to do it with the lies. That was the opposite of the truth. So,
right.
Did you know you had all those gifts?
No, I didn't. I knew some of them, but some of the gifts that Jesus unveiled really really touched me. I really felt it emotionally. It was really an emotional experience to hear him tell me things about myself that way that were truth.
And I remember one time, Jim. The head demon got belligerent or slow, and or maybe I caught it lying, I've forgotten, but I had the warring angels jab it with the swords. How'd that feel?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't feel anything yourself, but that was kind of cool.
I think the demon thought he was done unveiling his strategy, and then when you did that, he said a few more things. You wouldn't let him off the hook.
That was
really powerful.
It's amazing how conniving these demons are. Of course, they're very good at it. They've had centuries to perfect their methods, and they've taken many, many Christians out through the years. That, of course, so many Christians even today don't have any idea about demons in the first place, or that they're in a war, and they never do any resisting like the Bible says to do. They don't use the power they've been given, and they've never been taught that. Of course, that's why we're on the radio tonight, is to try to get this more across and encourage others to seek this type of ministry. Well, how's your life going now?
Well, you know, one thing I wanted to, even after we had done the deliverance in your office, I immediately felt lighter. It was an experience of feeling lighter, like a burden had been lifted off of me. And then
praise God.
So I left. Yeah, I was very thankful, and it was very powerful. Praise Jesus. So I left your office and went to my hotel and flew back to Los Angeles the next morning. Felt like it was really a strategic assignment for me to, you know, Jesus' strategic assignment to get me out there and get me delivered and free and cleaned up. And ever since then, God's really been on the move. I really feel like it's really got me back on track with my purpose with the Lord.
Have you had any desire for alcohol since then?
Not really. I really feel like that spirit of addiction too, which we went after and I got delivered of.
Yeah.
That was also very powerful. You know, it was a co-head, I think you called it. It was addiction and fear that we went after at the same time. And so, I've been it's just really been amazing. I would just encourage anyone that has things that they haven't been able to change in their life to just surrender and think about, you know, this as something that can really help them. It's really a blessing.
And it's so amazing, Jim. Typically in one evening, if one goes through all these steps, we can get them free and physically healed even. It's just fascinating that can be done in one evening. You know, when I'm talking to people about deliverance and I tell them, well, you come at 5:30 and we finish around 10:30. Oh, I don't want to spend that much time.
Right.
That's a long time to come. And I say to them, well, if you went out to eat and went to a movie, it'd be about the same amount of time. Which do you think would be the most important in your life? You know,
right.
Get free of these problems
right. They're
telling me about. And so it is funny,
I think,
how people
probably
think
the,
sometimes.
The best four hours of time investment that you could do, that I could think of, really.
Amen. Well, are you, is there anybody doing out there in your area deliverance?
Yeah, there's some deliverance ministries. I have a friend, I believe the program's called Sozo. You probably know more about it than I do, Everett. But there are a few people I know that are doing deliverance in Southern California.
Yes, they don't do all the steps we do in Sozo. It's a lot of inner healing. And obviously it helps people that need inner healing. But what we find sometimes with some people, the inner healing is not so important, but the rest of the steps we do are tremendously important. But with other people, the inner healing is major, huge in their life. And it just varies. But what we do at our ministry, these steps that we put together over these well, in my case, 43 years of doing it, and the Monday night ministry now 37 years. And we typically do about 700 people a year, on most of it on one-on-one with the trained ministers. And these steps work amazingly well, as I tell the teams. If you can learn these steps on the checklist to do, you can minister to a good part of the people out there in the world that want it, that want ministry. That those steps will work pretty well with most people. So
yeah.
I'm probably the psychiatrists don't have that same ratio that we see, which is probably, I don't know, 90% effective, something
right.
like that. It's amazing to all of us that again, little us can do this. You know, I'm not a priest.
Yeah.
I'm not out of a seminary. I'm a businessman, a pilot, and lots of other things I've been into, not bad things, just things that kept me busy. But I never was groomed to do what I'm doing, but it just worked out this way. I never planned to put deliverance ministries together. It just happened.
So, yeah.
One thing I wanted to share as well, Everett, is
you had told me each day to speak out loud Luke 10:19. About the authority
yeah.
that we have to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. And I've been doing that every day as well. And I appreciate
Praise
you
God, and,
telling
and
me
then,
to do that.
Yeah, it's important to learn steps to stay free and then also do those IMs and that yellow handout.
Right.
The yellow handout on the IMs of who you are in Jesus. And, of course, resist. Do those keys for staying free to go down that. So, yeah, getting free is one thing and staying free is another, but it's not that hard once you learn about it. And it becomes pretty easy, and especially it's pretty exciting to find out that you and I, as Christians, have power over all these demons if we'll use it. And, of course, we've got to figure out their legal rights that they have. A generational curses, whatever. We can break those with all power easily, and then the inner healing is needed. But it's so exciting that that's available for all Christians. So, well, thank you so much, Jan. Anything else you'd like to say to the listeners before we wind up in the one more minute?
Oh, I would just encourage anyone out there that wants to be set free of something that they've never had freedom over to really consider doing this. It's just amazing what Jesus can do when you surrender to him. It's just such a blessing.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Jim, and I'll be talking to you some more. So glad you came out.
Yeah, thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
I really
thank
appreciated
you,
it. Thank you very much. Okay, good night.
Good night.
Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Typical testimony. It's typical testimony. Grew up in the church, gave himself over to Jesus a little bit older. Things were there, knew they weren't supposed to be there, couldn't seem to overcome them, come out for deliverance, feels lighter.
Never heard that before, have we?
No, that's yeah, it's a rare person to ever feel that to say that. So, and I would say that that Los Angeles is in a desperate need of deliverance ministers.
Yes, for sure.
So, well, we have the other Jim. Jim, thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, it's good to be with you.
Yes, hi, Jim. Appreciate you
hey,
coming
Everett.
In. Can you hear? Yes,
yes
Ralph's
can.
On here with me. And, why don't you go ahead and give some history or background on yourself, Jim, and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, and how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverances have been like and changes you've seen and whatever else you'd like to share. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I've recently retired, but I became a believer when I was about 17 through an organization called Young Life. And I'd been raised in a denominational church and had even gone through confirmation when I was about 13, but none of those things really resulted in me becoming a believer. But I think those seeds planted were valuable. And, I mean, the liturgy, the saying Lord's Prayers, the things we learned in denominational church, I think they planted the seeds for what was to become my salvation. And then for 40 years or so, I've walked with the Lord and been an active believer. And but the thing that really pushed me to find your deliverance ministry, Everett, was my son. And like when you lost your daughter, my son has had tremendous problems, and so we were at wit's end to try to help him, and we looked up and saw that he lives just a few blocks away from your deliverance ministry, and so that's why I came over there and experienced it firsthand myself, which was great and fabulous. And after the deliverance ministry I went through with you, that very first night, the demon of fear came back and tried to attack me very obviously. And I renounced him and resisted him and prayed against him and prayed a lot and was successful in not allowing that particular demon to come and attack me again. And it did feel supernatural.
Praise God. You did what the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. So many Christians, Jim, they just sit there and they don't know about the power they have and don't even know about the demons. They just figure the fear is themselves, that they probably need to see a psychiatrist or something.
You know, Everett, I really can relate to you because, like you, I just came from sort of a skeptical background, and believed in the power of man more than the power of God. And over the years, I've come to see the flaw in that logic and the reality of the spiritual dimension. And, you know, the Bible speaks about the 70 that he sent out and how they were astounded, just like you were, Everett, and I was, when you cast out a demon from somebody. But it really is today just as it was with the 70 that were sent out. And so it's such a great blessing to be involved and to learn about deliverance through your ministry.
Yes, and it's for all Christians, of course. Well, when you went through deliverance, you worked with one of our ministers, Jerry, some time back. Do you remember what that ministry was like?
Well, it was similar to, you know, the one that you and I went through together. It was nice to go through it with twice, although I don't know. I'm sure that just to make sure that any particular evil demonic activity that maybe we missed the first time, we got the second time. And I really appreciate you guys, and I appreciate the door-closing prayers, too. It just shows that you've really fully understood what the Bible says, and that is that we have to close the doors where the demons come in and make sure that we don't sin again and open those doors again. And then any demons that are there that are oppressing us, we can cast them out and be fully clean and not subject to being reinfected, if you will, because the doors have been closed. That's a very excellent method that you guys practice, and I appreciate it.
Yes, when we first started, Jim, all we knew to do was to figure out the names of the likely spirits by their problem name and come against them. And it was really hard ministry, and sometimes, in fact, quite often, the demons would come back on the person. We'd have to minister again because we didn't know about doors. Well, it's over these decades we learned about doors, and I started putting a door-closing prayer together that is an attempt to close the typical doors that demons use on Christians. And that it's not perfect, but it overall it seems to take the wind out of their sail, and they're sedated somewhat, and usually pretty much easier to deal with. And we don't typically have the big manifestations we had years ago. It does occasionally happen with some people, but we may go many months before there's a manifestation like that. It was so much easier, and we go home earlier. You know, we're usually through about 10:30, starting at 5:30, and that includes the teaching and the door closing and all the preparation that goes into it. So you felt pretty free, but you felt like you needed to go back through. What was the reason for that, Jim?
Well, and after going through it the first time, I was able to sit down with my wife, Linda, and talk to her and really try to see if there was anything that might have been missed, things that were that she was able to point out that maybe I didn't really focus on the first time. And I thought that was wise to sit down with somebody who knows me so well and could really go through and say, well, what about this? What about that? So that we could cover all the bases and make sure they're all covered. And so then the second time when I went through it with you, I had those extra notes.
Yeah, it's probably more accurate, especially if your spouse filled it out. You know, when couples come, I've often said, well, why don't you write up her list and you write up his? And, you know, your spouse would know you better. So
there's a lot of wisdom in that. I mean, things that are fresh on their minds that we may not, you know, that is really evident and obvious to them, sometimes we personally kind of overlook or minimize.
Yeah, right. So, okay, you came back, and so how did it go this second time?
Very well. Like I say, right after the second one, that spirit of fear, that very night when I was trying to go to sleep and was falling asleep, it came to me probably in a weak moment when I was kind of in between sleep and awake. I was just kind of, you know, really about to doze off, and that's when it came. And So I really rebuked it. I mean, it's a weak moment. You might just kind of give into it and try to go to sleep, but I recognized that, no, this was an attack. And so I rebuked it and resisted it and prayed. And I didn't want to wake up, but I did wake up because it was important. And I thought that's interesting how these spirits will try to attack you at a weak moment.
Yes, and they're very good at that. And you did, I'm so proud of you, Jim. You did exactly what you should have done. You didn't just sit there. You used the power you've been given in Jesus' name and commanded it to go. It may have been an assignment. Now, in your case, I wasn't able to get the head demon up, so we had to work the problem list. And it could be, of course, we missed it, that particular fear spirit. You know, we don't have it down to a perfect science, so sometimes we just have to do what we can and then follow up and do some more if needed. Many of the cases are like that, because everyone is so different. What's not different is the power we've been given to deal with it in Jesus' name. So that could have been just in a new assignment even that was put on you to try to see if you would yield to it.
And that makes sense. It makes sense that the things that we've yielded to in the past, those are things that the spirits recognize as vulnerabilities. And so those are the things we have to be on guard against the most, I'm sure.
Yes. Praise God. And let's see, you were okay on the limb check, weren't you? Your legs were equal and all?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the case? Uh-huh. And did you have any physical pain that we dealt with?
Just a little bit of stress-related pain in my shoulder that we prayed about, and it went away, and it's been gone pretty much since then. I had to try to come back one day the other day, and I told it to leave in Jesus' name. It was, you know, stress related in my shoulder.
Yeah. And then you went over the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Tell about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really appreciated the way that you walked me through that and let me understand that it is a language that I just create. I mean, in other words, everybody's is individual, and that by speaking what seems like babbling, as long as we're doing it in a real prayer, sincere prayer to the Lord, the Lord's going to bless that. And as a real skeptical person like you and I were, our history has been, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I questioned whether that was appropriate. But I'm glad that you showed me how appropriate it is and how it's not something that the Lord, that I'm doing inappropriately, that the Lord wants me to exercise that gift and encourages me to exercise the speaking in tongues.
Amen. And we went over why you want to speak in tongues. Of course, what Paul told us that we're praying to God, not to man. You're praying what needs to be prayed, and then also you're edifying yourself, building yourself up. It's kind of like charging a battery. Who doesn't need that from time to time? And then we discussed one that's not in the Bible that I learned from the demons a couple of years ago. A pastor was manifesting from the north part of the state, and I had to hit demon up, and this demon was very vocal. And this demon said at one point that when he prays in the tongues, it hurts us. And speak it out of the pastor's mouth. And when he prays in tongues, it hurts us, it said. And then it added this: he quit speaking in tongues about 2 weeks, and we had a vacation. So the lesson to me was, maybe I'd better be speaking in tongues more than I have been, because I sure want to hurt them a lot. And so we talked about that, and as I recall, you've got a great flowing language now.
Yes, and when that spirit of fear came and tried to torment me that evening when I was dozing off, I used that. I used the tongues because of just this story you had told me about how it disrupts them and disturbs them so greatly, and I wanted to get them. And get them running and cause them trouble. And so in addition to doing that, I started praying against spirits that might be bothering my family members, and I just spent time in active prayer after that for a while. So maybe these demons will get the picture that if they come after me and try to bother me, I'm going to cause them a lot of trouble.
I love it. Hallelujah. That's so good, Jim. Yeah, you shot your machine gun through there. There's no way you wouldn't have hit something. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, that's the way to do it, and I'm really proud of you. And what else? Do you have some other things you'd like to share about deliverance before we wind up?
I guess there's one thing I would like to say, and that is that I think that we are on the cusp of something really big, and that this fruit of your ministry, your 30-plus years of ministry, is going to, I think, suddenly turn into a tidal wave in this country, and that a lot of people who were just involved in kind of denominational ministry without an understanding of these gifts that we've been given to exercise are going to come into an understanding of them in a big way, that all these seeds you've been planting for these decades are going to reap a big harvest any time now. I think it's going to be big throughout the world, especially in the United States.
Yes, I've often said if people really knew what we did there on Monday nights, they'd be backed out on the street. Of course, we couldn't handle, we typically do about 12 to 15 cases each Monday night, and we have enough ministers usually. We had extra ministers this last Monday, but I think we only had 11 cases or so. So we can do group ministry also if we are short of ministers that can help people from all they need. but others, they could come back then and get one-on-one later, but they could get some relief just getting a group minister. We have a man that does that if we don't have enough ministers. Well, in winding up, anything else you'd like to say to the people before we close out with you, Jim?
I would just encourage them to read the scriptures that you mentioned about how we have all power in Luke, and to go onto your website, and even on the website they can follow your prayer of closing doors. Even if they can't be with you in person, they can do that, and it's powerful.
Yeah, that's on our website under self-ministry. If they'll click on that, it's on the home page of www.deliveranceusa.com. And if they'll click on the page for self-ministry, then it actually, there's 4 hours of teaching, video teaching, and ministry that a person can receive. Self-ministry. We've had people even in other countries do that, and they would send us reports of how it helped them. So even that works, and also it's a good way for teaching because you can use your cursor going through those steps and back it up if you didn't quite get something, and you know, back up again if you need to until you've learned it. So how
wonderful.
Jim, thank you so much, brother. That was a great testimony. Thanks. God bless you, and go forth.
Thank you, Everett. Bless you, and Richard, and Ralph. Bless your ministry. It's a great one. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, praise you, guys.
Thank you.
Praise you for your work. Thank you.
Bye-bye to you.
Bye-bye.
Well, two gems set free.
Yeah, it's kind of unusual to have two gems in one night.
Yes.
Kind of surprising.
But typical, I would say textbook deliverance testimonies. I mean, we've heard the same things over and over.
One case was basic, just working the problem list.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other case was the head demon type. So either way, it can help people and get free.
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and he talked about, well, if people knew what we did in here, they'd be lined up past the block. And he said, well, I don't know if we can handle it. I'd like to see that problem happen where people are lining up to come in.
Yes. Right.
That would be a problem, because I know if that many people were being set free, you would get a good percentage of them want to be ministers and be part of the teams and to help set others free. That's you recruit within. Typically, most of your ministers are someone that's gone through the deliverance. They see that how they benefited and how they want to help others, and they get in and learn. And you can learn it by going to deliveranceusa.com. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's definitely an excellent manual to have in your arsenal. It'll complement your Bible, and it shows you, from in your Bible, the steps that are needed and why they're there. It describes it, what's the purpose for it, and the verses you're using, and the verses that are really effective for using for doing deliverance. You can obtain that by calling Rich at the office at 307-742-7582. Let them know you need that book, and it will certainly get it out to you. So, Pastor, here we are, another Wednesday night down for the year, and we look forward to everybody coming out next Wednesday to visit with us and listen to the testimonies, and we just hope that you have a blessed weekend, blessed week, blessed weekend. And, Pastor, as always, thankful to be here on here with you. God bless everybody, and we will see you next week.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority.
nothing will harm you.